name is Nikki Strong, and this is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on the program, Gina Bennett reports on the rise of worldwide sugar prices. Brian Lynn has a story on NASA's new laser communication method for the science report. Later, Andrew Smith and Jill Robbins present the lesson of the day. But first, here is Gina Bennett.
The sudden and large increase in sugar prices left Ishaq Abdulrahim with few choices. Raising the cost of bread would mean decreasing sales, so the Nigerian baker decided to cut his production by half. For other struggling bakers in the West African nation, it was the latest of many problems they have faced. Many bakers just closed their shops. Sugar is needed to make bread, the daily food for Nigeria's 210 million people. For many, bread offers a less costly source of calories or energy. Rising sugar prices, an increase of 55% in 2 months, means fewer bakers and less bread. It is a very serious situation, Abdulrahim said. Sugar is trading at the highest prices since 2011, mainly due to lower supplies around the world. The increase followed the unusually dry weather that damaged harvests in India and Thailand, the world's second and third largest exporters. This is just the latest problem for developing nations already dealing with shortages of rice and bans on some food trade. Others include the effects of the weather system El Nino and the war in Ukraine. And, increasingly, sugar is being used for biofuels, so worldwide reserves of sugar are at their lowest since 2009. Brazil is the biggest sugar exporter, but its harvest will only help supply later in 2024. Until then, sugar importing countries, like most of those in sub-Saharan Africa, remain at risk. Aba Usman is a trader in the Nigerian capital of Abuja. He said a 50-kilogram bag of sugar that cost $66 a week ago now costs $81. As prices rise, his customers are decreasing. The price keeps increasing every day, and we don't know why, Usman said. It is partly due to El Nino, a natural event that shifts the weather around the world and can cause extreme weather conditions like drought or flooding. Scientists believe climate change is making El Nino stronger. India experienced its driest August in over a century. Crops in the western state of Maharashtra, which accounts for over a third of its sugarcane production, did not grow properly. The Indian Sugar Mills Association said India's sugar production is likely to decrease by 8% this year. The world's most populated nation is also the biggest user of sugar and is now restricting sugar exports. El Niño affected both the amount and quality of the harvest in Thailand, said Narathip Anantasuk, leader of the Thailand Sugar Planters Association. He expects only 76 million metric tons of sugarcane in the 2024 harvest season, compared with 93 million metric tons this year. Looking ahead, Kelly Gowry, a senior researcher at Grow Intelligence, said Brazil's harvest is predicted to be 20% bigger than last year. But since the country is in the southern hemisphere, the increase in supply will not come until March. Data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, or USDA, shows that the world now has less than 68 days of sugar in reserves to meet its needs. Some countries, including Indonesia and Kenya, have cut back their sugar imports. China was forced to release sugar from its reserves for the first time in 6 years to offset high prices. Back in Nigeria, Africa's largest economy, the struggle of bakers is an example of the effects of rising food, fuel costs, and the large impact of high sugar prices. Bread is often the only food poor families have enough money to buy. When bakers raise bread prices, as they did by 15% earlier this year, some people go hungry. Not passing along higher costs is not possible, said Mansour Umar, president of the Nigerian Bakers Association. There is no way you can buy high and you sell low, he said. I'm Gina Bennett.
NASA has successfully tested a laser-based communication method that sent data over 16 million kilometers. The American Space Agency hopes the system will greatly improve data links between Earth and spacecraft exploring deep space. The method, called Deep Space Optical Communications, or DSOC, is being tested aboard NASA's Psyche spacecraft. The agency launched Psyche last month to observe a mostly metal asteroid. DSOC uses lasers to send large amounts of data very long distances. Traditionally, NASA has depended on radio frequency communications to send data to and collect data from deep space. But now the agency seeks to improve its systems to support new technologies and future trips to the moon and beyond. Laser communications, also known as optical communications, enable the fast transmission of data over long distances. In an explanation of lasers, NASA explained the technology will permit up to 100 times more data to be transmitted back to Earth than current radio frequency systems. NASA estimates it would take about 9 weeks to transmit a complete map of Mars back to Earth with current radio frequency systems. But with a laser-based method, the time would be cut to 9 days. Also, laser communications equipment takes up less space in spacecraft and uses less energy. Scientists from NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California recently announced a successful test of the DSOC method. The team said a device on the Psyche spacecraft was able to successfully send and receive data messages with a telescope in Southern California. NASA said the laser system works with signals that exist at near-infrared wavelengths. The data transmitted by laser takes the form of bits, the smallest pieces of data a computer can process. These bits are embedded inside the laser's photons. The NASA team described the successful data signal transmissions as first light. The experiment represented the farthest ever demonstration of optical communications at about 16 million kilometers. Trudy Cortez is the Director of Technology Demonstrations for the Space Technology Mission Directorate at NASA headquarters in Washington. She said in a statement she sees the first light event as one of many critical DSOC milestones to look forward to in the coming months. The communication success is another step forward, she said, in support of humanity's next goal, sending humans to Mars. Optical communication has already been demonstrated in low Earth orbit and on the Moon. But the research team working on the DSOC project said it was the first time this method has been successfully tested in deep space. Abhi Biswas is a project technologist on the DSOC team. He called the latest laser test a tremendous achievement. The team was, Biswas said, able to send some data, meaning we were able to exchange bits of light from and to deep space. The team said laser communication over long distances can be difficult as it requires complete exactness in following signals and linking up transmitters and receivers over millions of kilometers. Project leaders say when Psyche is at its farthest from our planet, DSOC's near-infrared photons will take about 20 minutes to travel back to Earth. During the successful experiment on November 14th, DSOC took about 50 seconds to send the data from Psyche to Earth. Jason Mitchell is a director in NASA's Space Communications and Navigation Program. He called optical communication a boon for scientists and researchers who always want more from their space missions. Mitchell said better data transmission methods will improve human exploration of deep space and lead to many more data discoveries in the future. I'm Brian Lynn.
Brian Lynn is here now to talk more about his science report. Thanks for joining me again, Brian.
Of course, Dan. Glad to be here.
This week's report dealt with a new data communication method NASA recently tested. The laser-based system can carry more data at higher speeds through deep space. We learned the system is being tested aboard NASA's Psyche spacecraft. Was there a reason NASA chose this mission for testing the method?
So NASA officials haven't really said a lot about why the Psyche mission was chosen for this first test, but the space agency says it expects this new communication method to greatly improve the possibilities for exploring new faraway places, such as Mars. Just for comparison, Earth sits nearly 400,000 kilometers away from the Moon, but the average distance between Earth and Mars is about 225 million kilometers. Psyche is expected to travel about 3.6 billion kilometers over 6 years to reach its target asteroid. So this path would be in line with trips other spacecraft would make through deep space in the future.
Now that the team has successfully made contact using the laser method, what have they said they plan to work on next?
Yes, the leaders of the project have said they still need to work on DSOC's systems that control how the method identifies and links up with transmitters and receivers on Earth. The team says these systems have to be pretty exact to connect effectively to each other over millions of kilometers in deep space.
Thanks again for joining me, Brian.
You're welcome, Dan. Thank you.
Is Anna Mateo.
My name is Andrew Smith.
And my name is Jill Robbins. You're listening to the lesson of the day on the Learning English Podcast. Welcome to the part of the show where we help you do more with our series, Let's Learn English. This series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
In a recent Lesson of the Day podcast, we talked about Anna going to the store to buy food for a dinner party. In Lesson 39, which is called It's Unbelievable, we see Anna shopping online. She sees an advertisement on television and, as you can imagine, learns an important lesson about advertising.
Winter weather in Washington, D.C. can be really windy. And wind messes up my hair. It is really windy today. Oh, look at my hair. Will it be windy this weekend? I'll listen to the news. I am tired of my untidy hair.
Are you tired of your untidy hair?
Yes. Yes, I am. And it's uncomfortable.
Is it uncomfortable?
Yes. Yes, it is. Hey, is that Pete?
Hi, I'm Pete, and I have the perfect product for you. Hair Be Good. Just spray Hair Be Good on your hair. Wrap in a towel. And you are done. Hair Be Good works. And it's inexpensive. One can costs only $10. So go online and order your Hair Be Good today.
Hair Be Good sounds perfect. And I can trust Pete. I am buying some right now. Okay, I will order one can of Hair Be Good for $10. I'll pay with a credit card. My delivery will arrive in 2 days. Awesome!
We should add that in Let's Learn English, you can find lesson plans with many activities and explanations like the ones we give you in this podcast. For example, there's a pronunciation practice video about the feeling Anna describes for her untidy hair.
One of the new words in this lesson can cause problems for English learners. That word is uncomfortable, and its opposite, comfortable. When you say this word, you do not pronounce some of the letters that you see in the written word.
In this lesson, you hear Anna say that her hair is uncomfortable.
Are you tired of your untidy hair?
Yes. Yes, I am. And it's uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. Hey, that sounds like one of those reduced forms we've been teaching in some of our earlier podcasts.
Yeah, are you happy? It wouldn't be a lesson of the day without a reduced form.
That's right. Let's listen to more of the story. I want to find out if the hair product helps Anna fix her hair.
I'll use it before I go to work. Okay, hair be good. Make my untidy hair tidy. No, make it fabulous.
Hi, Anna.
Hello, Amelia.
Anna, you look different.
Thanks. I used a new product called Hair Be Good.
Well, it's not.
It's not what?
Good. Your hair does not look good.
Oh, no! This is not good.
Why don't you go home and take care of this?
Good idea.
Listeners, we need to describe for you now how Anna's hair looks in the video. It's standing up straight from her head in all different directions. You could say it's even more untidy than it was before.
It looks very strange. Now you can guess that Anna will be very unhappy with Pete when she meets him on her way home from work. Let's listen.
Hi, Anna.
Hello, Pete.
Is something wrong?
This is wrong.
What did you do to your hair?
Hair Be Good did this to my hair.
Oh, you bought it.
Yes, I bought it. You said in your ad it was a perfect product. This is not perfect. This is imperfect.
It's unbelievable.
I believed your ad, Pete. It was dishonest.
I hope this doesn't damage their friendship. And by the way, you probably figured out that untidy means not neat. In this lesson, you hear Anna use adjectives with negative prefixes. Prefixes are those little two- or three-letter pieces that come before a word and change its meaning. The prefixes in this lesson are the letters I-N, in, the letters U-N, un, the letters D-I-S, dis, and the letters I-M, im.
Hey, we had an example of dis in our previous podcast when we talked about Anna and the guy from the country disagreeing.
That's true, we did.
And like I said before, Anna is really unhappy with Pete because she believed his TV ad. She didn't know it was a dishonest ad, one that was not really telling the truth. So it was unbelievable.
Thanks, Jill, for those examples of how those prefixes give the opposite meaning to an adjective. Like when Anna tells Pete that the product in his advertisement does not work.
Yes, I bought it. You said in your ad it was a perfect product. This is not perfect. This is imperfect.
In this example, imperfect means the opposite of perfect. The prefix is im or im.
I suppose our listeners are wondering why there are so many prefixes to make the meaning opposite. Dr. Jill, do you have a linguistic explanation for that?
Of course I do. One reason is that English words were borrowed from several different languages. One of them is German. Words from German use a prefix un or un. And a lot of words come to us from Latin through other languages like French. Those words from Latin use the prefix in or in.
Okay, but what about the other prefixes like I am as in imperfect? Perfect comes from Latin, doesn't it?
Yes, but the prefix in or in changes to im or I am before adjectives that begin with P, B, and M, as in impossible and imperfect.
So there, it changes because of the sound of the next letter. That makes sense. There are some important words that take the IM, IM, like import, immunize, immortal.
And important, too. There are two other prefix sound changes like that. The prefix in, IN, changes to IL or ill before the letter L, as in illiterate or not able to read.
That's right. If you are literate, you can read, and if you are illiterate, you cannot read. That prefix also gives us words like illegal and illogical. And isn't there one more prefix? IR, ear. The letters IN, in, changes to ear before words that begin with R, as in irresponsible, which means careless.
Right, so we get irregular and irrelevant. But let's get back to our story. Will Anna forgive Pete?
Anna, you don't believe everything you see in ads, do you?
No, Pete. Just the ones with my friends.
Your hair will be okay. Just wash it a couple of times.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Pete. Here's your product. You should call it Hair Be Really, Really Bad. Until next time, Pete. Till next time.
I guess it will take a little time for her to forgive him. But she's learned not to believe everything she sees on television.
That gives me an idea, Andrew. Let's ask our listeners to write to us about some advertising they learned that was not 100% true. Write to us at learningenglish@voanews.com or in the comments on our YouTube video.
And here's a useful vocabulary word for our listeners. An advertisement that is very untrue, we call that a scam. S-C-A-M. So perhaps you have encountered some scams, but hopefully not. And whether you find us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, or on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. We hope you have enjoyed the lesson of the day on the Learning English Podcast.
And thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Jill.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
That's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.